Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Gold. And today we're Masechus Nedarim, Daf Chav Tes, the third parak, Arba Nedarim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on the previous Daf, Ula had said that when one declares Kedusha on saplings until they are cut, the Kedusha comes up automatically at that time. Rav Hamnuna asked him, Kedusha Shebehen Lehechan Holcha? Where did the Kedusha go? Meaning, with what mechanism did they lose their Kedusha? Umat Yu Amr Le'isha Yom At Ishti. And what if one said to his wife, today you're my wife and tomorrow you're not my wife, meaning the marriage should dissolve on its own. Does she leave without a get? Surely not. So how then can Ula say that the Kedusha goes off automatically? Rava responded to Rav Hamnuna that he cannot compare marriage, which is Kedusha's aguf, physical sanctity, meaning her physical being is married to him, and Kedusha's dummy, monetary sanctity, such as the net of our Mishnah, in which the sapling's value is Kadosh. Although Kedusha's aguf cannot end on its own, Kedusha's dummy can. Point number two, Abai responded that it can be proven that even Kedusha's aguf can end on its own from a braisa which states, if one said, Shor ze ola kol shoshim yom, lachar shoshim yom shlamim, this ox should be an ola for 30 days, and after 30 days, it should be a shlamim, then after the 30 days of being an ola, it does become a shlamim. From the fact that the Kedusha's aguf of ola ends after 30 days, for otherwise it cannot become a shlamim, it's evident that even Kedusha's aguf can end at a predetermined time. When the Gemara suggests that perhaps the Brice is speaking where he was merely makdish the animal with Kedusha's damim of ola, the Gemara says this cannot be, because the next case of the Brice states, if he says, lachar shoshim yom ola akshav shlamim, after 30 days it should be an ola and from now a shlamim, then that is what happens. Since the second case does not appear to add anything new, it must be to show that one of the cases speaks of Kedusha's aguf and that it cannot come off on its own. And point number three, the Gemara suggests that the above Braisa should disprove Bar Pada's position on the previous stuff, that saplings which were consecrated until they are cut need to be redeemed after they are cut, since the Kedusha does not end on its own. Rav Papa answers that Bar Pada would say that the second case of the Braisa is teaching something else entirely. If he had not said it should be a shlamim from now, it would have become an ola after 30 days. And the Brice is coming to teach that the Kedusha of an ola can take effect after 30 days, even if he attempted to retract his ola consecration prior to the 30th day. Although there is an opinion that in a parallel case of marriage, where one gives a woman Kedusha money and says, Hiskadshi li lachar shoshim yom, become married to me after 30 days, she can retract during the 30 days. Hakashani da'mir sola gavoa kamisira sola hedyot. Here it's different because a declaration to Hekdesh is like a transfer to an ordinary person. The Ran elaborates that a verbal declaration for Hekdesh is even more potent than an ordinary acquisition, for we treat this declaration like a transfer made with a stipulation that after 30 days it will take effect from now, in which case neither side can retract in the interim. So once again, the 3 points are number one. On the previous daf, Ula had said that when one declares Kedusha on saplings until they are cut, the Kedusha comes off automatically at that time. Rav Hamnuna asked him, Kedusha Shebehen Lehechan Holcha? Where did the Kedusha go? Meaning, with what mechanism did they lose their Kedusha? Umat Yu Amr Le'isha Yom At Ishti. And what if one said to his wife, today you're my wife and tomorrow you're not my wife, meaning the marriage should dissolve on its own. Does she leave without a get? Surely not. So how then can Ula say that the Kedusha goes off automatically? Rava responded to Rav Hamnuna that he cannot compare marriage, which is Kedusha's aguf, physical sanctity, meaning her physical being is married to him, and Kedusha's dummy, monetary sanctity, such as the net of our Mishnah, in which the sapling's value is Kadosh. Although Kedusha's aguf cannot end on its own, Kedusha's dummy can. Point number two, Abai responded that it can be proven that even Kedusha's aguf can end on its own from a braisa which states, if one said, Shor ze ola kol shoshim yom, lachar shoshim yom shlamim, this ox should be an ola for 30 days, and after 30 days, it should be a shlamim, then after the 30 days of being an ola, it does become a shlamim. From the fact that the Kedusha's aguf of ola ends after 30 days, for otherwise it cannot become a shlamim, it's evident that even Kedusha's aguf can end at a predetermined time. When the Gemara suggests that perhaps the Brice is speaking where he was merely makdish the animal with Kedusha's damim of ola, the Gemara says this cannot be, because the next case of the Brice states, if he says, lachar shoshim yom ola akshav shlamim, after 30 days it should be an ola and from now a shlamim, then that is what happens. Since the second case does not appear to add anything new, it must be to show that one of the cases speaks of Kedusha's aguf and that it cannot come off on its own. And point number three, the Gemara suggests that the above Braisa should disprove Bar Pada's position on the previous daf, that saplings which were consecrated until they are cut need to be redeemed after they are cut, since the Kedusha does not end on its own. Rav Papa answers that Bar Pada would say that the second case of the Braisa is teaching something else entirely. If he had not said it should be a shlamim from now, it would have become an ola after 30 days. And the Braisa is coming to teach that the kedusha of an ola can take effect after 30 days, even if he attempted to retract his ola consecration prior to the 30th day. Although there is an opinion that in a parallel case of marriage, where one gives a woman kedusha money and says, "Hizkadshi lilach shoshim yom, become married to me after 30 days," she can retract during the 30 days. Hakashani da'mir sola gavoa k'mesira sola hedyut. Here it's different because a declaration to hekdesh is like a transfer to an ordinary person. The Ran elaborates that a verbal declaration for hekdesh is even more potent than an ordinary acquisition, for we treat this declaration like a transfer made with the stipulation that after 30 days, it will take effect from now, in which case neither side can retract in the interim. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Chaf Tes, and our standard Siman is a cot. A cot. So here goes. The Kala crying on the cot because her indecisive chasen said, "Today you are my wife, but tomorrow you are not my wife." Listen in disbelief as he tried to make his ox a shlamim for 30 days, and after an ola, and then scream when he realized he said it should be a shlamim after 30 days, and amir sol gavoa. Once again, it's a motion. The Kala crying on the cot. Cot? That must be more enough. Chavtez. The Kala crying on the cot because her indecisive chasen said, "Today you are my wife, but tomorrow you are not my wife," which reminds us, Ula had said that when one declares kedusha on saplings, until they are cut, the kedusha comes off automatically at that time. Rav Hamnuna asked him, where did their kedusha go? With what mechanism did they lose their kedusha? And what if one said to his wife, "Today you are my wife, and tomorrow you are not my wife"? Should the marriage be dissolved on its own without a get? Surely not. So how then can Ula say that kedusha goes off automatically? Rabbi responded to Rav Hamnuna that he cannot compare marriage, which is kedusha's aguf, physical sanctity, meaning her physical being is married to him, and kedusha's dami, monetary sanctity, such as the neder of our Mishnah, in which the sapling's value is kadosh. So the Kala crying on the cot because her indecisive chasen said, "Today you are my wife, but tomorrow you are not my wife," listen in disbelief as he tried to make his ox a shlamim for 30 days, and after an ola, which reminds us, Abai responded that it can be proven that even kedushas aguf can end on its own from a brisa, which states that if one said this ox should be an ola for 30 days, and after 30 days it should be a shlamim, then after the 30 days of being an ola, it does become a shlamim. From the fact that the kedushas aguf of an ola ends after 30 days, for otherwise it could not become a shlamim, it's evident that even kedushas aguf can end at a predetermined time. So, the Kala crying on the cot because her indecisive chasen said, "Today you are my wife, but tomorrow you are not my wife," listen in disbelief as he tried to make his ox a shlamim for 30 days, and after an ola, and then scream when he realized he said it should be a shlamim after 30 days, and amir sol gavoa, k'misir sol hedyo, which reminds us, a braisa came to teach that if one said that an animal should become an ola in 30 days, the kedusha of an ola can take effect after 30 days, even if he attempted to retract his ola consecration prior to the 30th day. Although there's an opinion that in a parallel case of marriage where one gives a woman kedusha money and says, "Become married to me after 30 days," she can retract during the 30 days. Here it's different because amir sol gavoa k'misir sol hedyot. Because a declaration to hekdesh is like a transfer to an ordinary person. The Ran elaborates that a verbal declaration for hekdesh is even more potent than an ordinary acquisition, for we treat this declaration like a transfer made with the stipulation that after 30 days it will take effect from now, in which case neither side can retract in the interim. So once again, the Kala crying on the cot because her indecisive chasen said, "Today you are my wife, but tomorrow you are not my wife," listen in disbelief as he tried to make his ox a shlamim for 30 days and after an ola, and then scream when he realized he said it should be a shlamim after 30 days and amir sol gavoa k'misir sol hedyo. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Chaf Hei. So the simur Daf Chaf Hei is a silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. When the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for their 25th anniversary? That must be more Daf Chaf Hei. When the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for their 25th anniversary, which reminds us of Braisa Tal, that when a person swears in basin, he's told, "Know that you're not swearing according to some condition in your mind, rather according to our and the court's understanding." This was meant to preclude trickery, like the incident of the cane of Rava. A borrower who needed to swear to have paid filled a hollow cane with coins and handed to the unsuspecting lender the time of his shavua, and was thereby able to truthfully swear that he had given coins to the lender. The furious lender smashed the cane and the coin spilled out, showing how he had technically sworn truthfully. So when the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for the 25th anniversary, she made him swear to accept the Torah and be honest based on her intent, not his, which reminds us, when Klal Yisrael swore to accept the Torah in Arba's Mo, Moshe Rabbeinu warned them, Hevi yodim shelo adaitchem ani mashbi etzchem, el adaiti va'adas hamakom, know that I'm not having you swear according to your own intent, rather according to my intent and Hashem's intent. So when the deceitful borrower gave his shocked wife his hollow cane filled with coins as a gift for their 25th anniversary, she made him swear to accept the Torah and be honest based on her intent, not his, and promised to never make another netter forbidding food to a group of people, since his last one unknowingly included his father and brother. Which reminds us, in the next Mishnah's listing the case of Nidrei Shkagos, unintentional Nedarim, it states, if a person saw people eating his figs and he said, they're forbidden like a carbon to you, and they were found to be his father and brothers, against whom he would not have made the netter, and others who were with them, Beis Shammai say that although the figs are permitted to his relatives, they are forbidden to the others. Beis Hillel disagree and say they are permitted to everyone, since the netter was partially void regarding his father and brothers. And we learn in another mission that Rebbe Akiva came and taught, Neder shehuter miksasu huter kulo, a netter that is nullified in part is nullified in its entirety. Dav chavav, so the symbol Dav chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The leader of the military coup, that must be wearing Dav Chavav. The leader of the military coup who made a netter forbidding his captives of extra helpings of dinner before realizing his father was taken as part of the group, which reminds us, Rava says, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue in a case where one said, had I known my father's among you, I would have said, all of you are forbidden except my father. In this case, the netter remains the same as the original, and the vow is stating that he never intended that his father be included in the netter. Beis Shammai holds like Rebbe Meir, who says elsewhere, Tafus Lashon Rishon, grasp the first phrase, mean give primacy to the first phrase used. Beis Hillel holds like Rebbe Yossi and say, B'gmar Dvarav Adam Nitpas, a person is always held by the end of his words. Therefore, the final netter, which has the exception of his father, is different than his original netter, and is thus a partially voided netter, which is completely void. So, the leader of the military coup who made a netter forbidding his captives of extra helpings of dinner before realizing his father was taken as part of the group, changed his formulation and said, this one shall be forbidden, and this one shall be forbidden like this one, which reminds us, Rapapa challenged Rava from the following mission, which said, if one says, She'eni nene lo lezeb lezeb, that I will not benefit from him and him, huta harishon hutra kulam, huta achron achron mutter, b'chun asurin. If the first became permitted, they are all permitted, but if the last became permitted, he is permitted and the rest are forbidden. Rava interprets the case as speaking of Kagon Shetlan Zebazeh, a case in which he made each dependent on the next, where he said, this one shall be forbidden like this one, and this one like this one. Therefore, when the first is nullified, they are all permitted, but when the last is nullified, the rest remain forbidden. So, the leader of the military coup who made a netter forbidding his captives of extra helpings of dinner before realizing his father was taken as part of the group, changed his formulation and said, this one shall be forbidden, and this one shall be forbidden like this one, and then proceeded to give them kufri onions, which are good for the heart, which reminds us. The Gemara challenges Rava from a brisa which states, if one said, konam onions for my tasting, because onions are bad for the heart, and they said to him, Bahaloha kufri yafalalev, isn't the kufri onion good for the heart? Remer taught in this brisa that since the kufri onion is permitted, all varieties are. The Gemara presumes the cases where he subsequently said that had he known the truth, he would have said, all onions shall be forbidden, but the kufri is permitted. Rava taught that such a case was the machlokas in which Beis Shammai held like Rabbi Meir to forbid the remainder of the netter, yet here Rabbi Meir permits other varieties. Rava answers the cases where he named specific varieties to prohibit and permitted the kufri onion. Since he changed the formulation of the netter, it's to be entirely nullified according to all opinions. Dav Chav Zayin. So the symbol Dav Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. The kazoo teacher, kazoo, that must be more Dav Chav Zayin. The kazoo teacher who gave based in documents supporting his claim he owned the kazoo music school on condition they would be void if he didn't return in 30 days, which reminds us, the Gemara records an incident in which a litigant had handed over to based in documents supporting his rights to another's property and said that if he didn't return within 30 days, his documents should be void. In the end, he was unable to come due to circumstances beyond his control. Rav Huna ruled his documents void, and Rava challenged him, Anasu, Anas Rachmana Patra, he's forced, meaning faultless. And the Torah acquits one who's forced, as we find by the law of violated Arusa. The Pasuk states, Lanara Lota Sadavra, and to the girl you should do nothing. Therefore, the stipulation should not be deemed fulfilled, and his documents should not be void. So the kazoo teacher gave based in documents supporting his claim he owned the kazoo music school on condition they would be void if he didn't return In 30 days, blew his kazoo with all his might when he got stuck on the opposite side of a river to indicate, "See, I have come," which reminds us, the Gemara asks him rub his position from an incident of a get given on a condition that he does not return within 30 days, but ultimately wasn't able to cross the river and called out from the opposite side, "Chazud Asai, see that I have come." Shmuel ruled that the get was valid despite his inability to return in time. The Gemara answers that perhaps an apparent, meaning predictable constraint is different, and the lack of a ferry is an apparent constraint. Since he was aware of this possibility, he should have excluded the circumstance from his condition. So the kazoo teacher gave based on documents supporting his claim he owned the kazoo music school on condition they would be void if he didn't return it in 30 days, blew into his kazoo with all his might when he got stuck on the opposite side of the river to indicate, "See, I have come," but ultimately lost his case because his documents were false. And here an asmachta is sufficient, which reminds us the Gemara wonders how the litigant's documents become void based on his prior commitment to forfeit them if he fails to return. Asmachtihi. Basmachta wakanya. This is an asmachta, a commitment based on an assumption that the terms will never be fulfilled, and an asmachta is not binding. The Gemara explains instead that here it's different because he said his documents should be invalid. The Ron explains he was admitting that if he didn't return to Beis Din in time, the proofs he intended to use to claim his property were in fact false, for which even an asmachta level agreement is sufficient. Daf Chav Ches. So the Simur Daf Chav Ches is a strong man. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more in Daf Chav Ches. The strong man tax collector who was seething with anger when a man made a netter forbidding all fruit if the grain was not truma, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin Ambe stated, "Nodrin laharagin ucharamin ulmochsin." One may make a netter to murderers, plunderers, and tax collectors, she truma apubishena truma, that his grain is truma, even though in truth it's not truma. To persuade his assailants whom are Jewish not to take his grain, he claims that it's truma and prohibited to them, and to bolster his false claim, he makes a netter to forbid all fruit on himself if the grain is not truma. The Gemara explains that although generally, dvarim shebalev einam dvarim, words of the heart are not words, meaning his private intent cannot impact his spoken words, l'gabri onsin sha'ani, a case of onus is different because the circumstances indicate that he intends differently than the simplest implication of his words. So the strong man tax collector, who was seething with anger when a man made a netter forbidding all fruit if the grain was not truma, got distracted from an oncoming windstorm and said, "My dumbbells are asr if they survive the wind." Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, "Hari netiyas ha'eil carbon im inu nixasos." If one said, "These saplings are hereby kadosh as a carbon if they're not cut," or "This talus is kadosh as a carbon if it's not burned," yesh lahem pidyon, they may be redeemed, meaning the netter is effective and the items are prohibited and can subsequently be redeemed for their value to become permitted. So the strong man tax collector, who was seething with anger when a man made a netter forbidding all fruit if the grain was not truma, got distracted from an oncoming windstorm and said, "My dumbbells are usher if they survive the wind, and my barbell is usher until I lift 1,000 pounds. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated, "Hari netiyas ha'eil carbon ad shikatsutsu." If one said, "These saplings shall be kadosh as a carbon until they are cut," and similarly, if he said, "His talus should be kadosh as a carbon until it's burned," ein lahem pidyon, they do not have redemption. Bar Pada explains, if he redeems them, they become kadosh again. If he again redeems them, they become kadosh again until they are cut. The Ron explains that we consider his netter to mean that they should remain kadosh until they are cut, meaning that even if they are redeemed, they should again become kadosh as if an additional nether was made. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf did we learn? Amir Sol Gavoa, Kamir Sira Sola, Hedyot, that's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 2, which daf did we learn? If one said, "These saplings shall be kodesh as a carbon until they are cut, they do not have pidyon, and if they're redeemed, they become kodesh again," that's on daf Chavches. Good. Number 3. Which stuff they learn? If someone made a netter forbidding people from eating his figs, and he discovered that his father and brother were there, Beisim will hold the netter as null, since netter shehuter miksaso huter kulo, that's on daf Chavhe. Good. Number 4. Which stuff they learn? If someone said, "Today you are my wife, tomorrow you are not my wife," the kedusha does not dissolve on its own because marriage is kedusha is a goof, that's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 5. Which stuff they learned? When Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe saw how pained the rabbis were in not being able to find a Pesach for his neder, that itself became the basis of the Pesach. That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which stuff is the case where a person gave a get on condition he does not return within 30 days and then gets stuck on the other side of the river and yells, "Here I have come"? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which did they when Abai says, even Kedushas Aguf can end on its own from the case where someone said, "This ox should be an ol for 30 days, and after 30 days it should be a shlamin," that's on daf Chavtes. Good number 8. Which that the word Moshe Rabbeinu made Klal Yisrael swear to accept the Torah based on his intent, and of course Baruch Hu's intent. That's on Daf. Chavhe. Good number 9. Which that the word one may make a netter to Jewish tax collectors that his grain is truma, even though it's not true. That's on Daf. Chavches. Good. And number 10. Which that we discuss a case where one said, Conan, that I will not benefit from you if you do not take for your son a core of wheat and 2 barrels of wine. That's on Daf. Chavdalot. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman. Wishing you a great day and great learning.